Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you the third and fourth Mishnah of the third chapter of Bava Mtzia for OU's Shtayim Mishnah program. The third chapter begins as follows. Amar l'shnayim, gazalti l'echad mikem, mana, ve'eni yodeh ha'iz mikem. It's a pretty humorous case. A guy comes forward and he says to two people, I know I stole $100 from one of you, but I can't remember who I stole from. Or the Mishnah presents a less criminal case, also slightly less amusing. Oh, aviv shelchamikem ifkid li mana ve'eni yodeh ezehu. One of your fathers loaned me or put $100 into my possession, either as a borrower, shoel, or as a shomer, or as a guard. Excuse me. Ve'eni yodeh ezehem, and I don't remember whose father gave me the money. So, in that case, the Mishnah decides, no tain lezemana, but lezemana. So what the person does is he gives $100 to each one. Shehodemi piatzmo, since he essentially admitted on his own that he was doing that. Now, it turns out that that's not the strict law. The Mishnah is saying that since he wants to come out and do the right thing, because nobody was tracking him down anyway, because nobody remembered that he had either been loaned $100 or stole $100. So since he's trying to come clean on his own, the Mishnah is saying he should really do the right thing, and even though he's only fessing up for $100, he should pay $100 to each, and $200, even though strictly it's not the law, if the guy wants to do the right thing, let him go all the way and do the right thing. Now, the implication, however, is that if the person was actually sued for theft, that is, both of them said, listen, we know you stole $100, we don't know from whom, I'm saying you stole from me, and the other guy says stole from me, then he does, in fact, have to pay $100 to each, because the rabbis are punishing him for being a thief. So, too, if the guy borrows $100, but he can't remember whose father he borrowed from, and two guys come and say, oh, it was my father, and the other guy says it was my father, we're punishing him for not being responsible for borrowing money and remembering who he's borrowing from, and therefore we make him pay $100 to each, meaning he's out the extra money. Strictly, since here he is admitting himself of the theft and nobody was tracking him down, or he's admitting himself he was borrowing, he should only have to pay 50 to one and 50 to the other, because all he really did was, all he really did, for sure, is either steal or borrow the $100. Nonetheless, the Mishnah is asking him to go all the way and make amends to everybody. And now let's try it the other way in the Mishnah, sort of the opposite case in the next Mishnah, which is Mishnah Dalet. Shnayim shefkidu eitzel echad, zemanev zematayim. In this case, it's not the borrower who is being dishonest, but it's the lender, or the lenders are being dishonest. So, two guys loaned one guy money, or they gave one guy money to watch. We'll just stick with the idea of him being a shoal for now, to simplify. One guy gave him $200, loaned him $200, and the other guy gave him $100. So the guy had $300 in his, I don't know, safety deposit box, wherever it was. The problem is that both of them now say, Zeomer Shalimatayim, Vizeomer Shalimatayim. Each one claims that he was the person who loaned him $200. So essentially he's got $400 being demanded from him when he only took $300 in the first place, but he himself does not remember who gave him the $200. Now there's some discussion among the Rishonim, amongst commentaries, about in what situation he is responsible to know who gave him the money. Was it all given to him in one bag of $300? Was it given to him in separate bags? At what point is he personally responsible to remember who gave what? So let's now just assume that it was a situation where he could not have known who was giving him the $200 and who was giving him the $100. He figured he'd just trust the people to say the right thing, and now one of them is a liar and one of them is trying to either lie or making an honest mistake, I suppose, but probably a dishonest mistake, and they're both claiming that they're the ones who lend him the larger sum, the $200 buckaroos. So what happens in that case? Notain lezem mana vilezem mana. So he gives $100 back to one guy, $100 back to the other guy, v'ashar yehi munach ad she'yavo eliyahu. And the extra $100, since we don't know who actually gave him the $200, each person gets $100 back that we know that they gave this poor guy. But the extra $100 essentially goes into permanent stasis until Eliyahu the prophet comes, which means that the way the court case, there's no human court There's no non-prophetic court that could decide who belongs to whom the belongs $200. We could all hope that they try to figure that out and they decide to give the extra $100 to charity or whatever it is. But there's no human court that could decide who the one who loaned him the extra $100. He then gives back only $200. So not only is he not out $400, he's not even out $300, except the extra $100 sits in his state fee deposit box forever and ever and ever and ever. Rabbi Yossi, however, disagrees with the whole theory for the following reason. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Im kein mafsid aramai. If you do that, that is, if you give the first guy the 100 and the second guy the 100, then essentially you're doing a favor for the person who's lying. That is, the person who's lying has nothing to lose by lying. The person who only gave 100 might as well just say he gave 200. Why? Because in the worst situation, he'll give its $100 back. And in the best situation, he'll scare the other guy off. Maybe the other guy will doubt himself on whether he was the one who gave $200. And therefore, the liar will get a full $200. You have nothing to lose. So even though this seems like, so Rabbi Yossi says, therefore, you take the full $300, somebody's $200, somebody's $100, because one guy lies, everybody gets hurt, the whole thing is untouchable until the hour where some prophetic court can decide who gets the 200 and who gets the 100, and the idea is by causing everybody this catastrophic loss, hopefully that will cause the truth to come out, rather than causing a worse fight, which I can imagine happening also. In any event, one would sympathize with Rabbi Yossi. It seems very solemn-like, very King Shlomo-like. Let's cut the baby in half, which means if nobody gets the baby, then maybe the true person will really come out. Unfortunately, it's not really. We could sympathize with this maneuver of trying to push the truth out of people by being a little bit extra lawful. But you can't be extra lawful. This is the Torah. We have to be lawful, and therefore we do know who the $100 belongs to, both of them. It's only the second of the $100 that we don't know. That's the only thing that's put away. And everybody gets their $100, and what keeps a liar from claiming $200 doesn't belong to him? And the answer is nothing. What can you do? Sometimes people are just liars, and the law is the law. And sometimes that's the way the baby crumbles.